How you doing?
Oh, doing awesome.
Yeah, definitely gonna need my glasses here, so. Okay, so I get to do the last chapter of John 21.
All right.
And we will get there. One day Peter and Jesus were speaking, and in Luke 22, 33 and 34, this is Peter. But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." Mark 14:50, then everyone deserted him and the people that Jesus had around him. You know, imagine telling one of your best friends that he would deny you in your hour of need. Not only that, but everyone close to you would desert you. I know how sad and angry that would make me. In fact, it has happened to me on a couple of occasions. Both of my brothers seem to want nothing to do with me. And these are men I have helped many times in their lives. I was a protector if anybody in our neighborhood bullied them. I have helped them out financially countless times, yet they still ostracize me. And they might have good reason. I was kind of arrogant with my faith and everything, but, you know. So, now, imagine how those feelings are magnified in the perfect Son of God. The men he lived with, these men he lived with for around 3 years, part of, deserted him. It seemingly meant nothing when he needed them the most. And, would you die from somebody? Raise a hand. Would anybody in here die for anybody? Okay, good. Especially if you knew it would be a slow, torturous death.
Yeah.
You have to. This is, well, the men should be raising their hands because we're commanded to. Right. He who does not take care of his own family is worse than an unbeliever.
Well,
I don't know where the scripture is, but I know this, the actual words by heart.
Changed.
Thank you. Romans 5:7 says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die." Then here's some people I would die for. My sons, my brothers, and my best friend Steve. I would also die for one other person in this room. Sorry, Donald, it's not you.
So.
Well, maybe. Yeah, this is my wish. If I do have to die for somebody, I hope it's in a heroic. When the guy shoots me with this last bullet, you know what I mean? That'd be a terrible way to go out. Each of us has participated in countless sermons, communions concerning the death of Jesus over the years so that we have a chance of making it to heaven. Does it hurt your heart and soul each time you hear this? Today during communion, did it hit you? Were you thinking about, wow, how lucky am I, how fortunate am I that Christ gave himself up on the cross? So I have a chance to sit in this church, think about what he did for me, and know that I'm going to go to heaven, unless I really screw up later in life. You know, does it bother you that he had to do that? Are you desensitized to it? You know, as if we hear the same thing over and over again, we can become immune to its powers. Do we really understand the agony that Jesus experienced in order to bring salvation to us? Sometimes I do, and other times I mail it in. You know, I'm just sitting here going, oh my gosh, how many... You know, as I've been a disciple now for, it'll be 24 years in October. I know some of you have been disciples for far longer than that. So you've heard these same words over and over and over again. And, you know, as humans, we need to strive to live up to that. But many times, I'm sure we all fail, and sometimes we just can't wait to get through the day. And you can't wait to get through church because there's a football, the Patriots are playing, you know, 1 o'clock, so. 3 o'clock, so you can make it there. Or me, the Dodgers are playing today. You know, I want to make it home to watch a Shohei play. The Gospels are pretty vanilla in their explanation of the crucifixion. The most graphic depiction of what Jesus went through is in Isaiah, but it still doesn't come close to relaying the horror that Jesus suffered. And it really doesn't. It talks, I think it's 52 where it talks about he was so beat up that he didn't look like a man. He didn't have that shape. The Gospels come nowhere close to explaining what he went through. And when I was in junior high, I did a report on torture. I don't know why I picked the subject. It just seemed interesting to me. I left my phone over there. There were no phones back then. It was back in the Stone Age. There were no computers. You actually had to go to a library, and hopefully they had some books about it. I grew up in a really tiny town, but for some reason, they had a lot of books on torture. I thought it was kind of weird. What I learned is people are barbaric, incapable of doing basically anything to another. And then one of the methods that really stands out to me that I learned about is people would hard-boiled eggs. Then they would take those eggs right out of the boiling water and put them in their the prisoners' armpits. Huh. Yeah, you know, I can't imagine how excruciating that would be. The Romans perfected torture. Crucifixion was an art form for them. They had it down to the nth degree so that they could torture and cause suffering for as long as a person would last. Matter of fact, they were surprised when Jesus died so early. You know, I'm going to read a little bit about the medical account of what Jesus went through. For this, I'm grateful that the young ladies aren't here. I don't want to read the whole thing because it's pretty gruesome. And this is the version that is in Shining Like Stars from Douglas Jacoby. And it's actually watered down, of course, against what the... I think Davis wrote the other account. A man to be flogged was stripped of his clothes and his hands tied to a post above his head. He was then whipped across the shoulders, back, buttocks, thighs, and legs, the soldier standing behind it to one side of the victim. The whip used, known as a flagellum, was designed to make this a devastating punishment, bringing the victim close to death. It consisted of several short, heavy leather thongs with two small balls of lead or iron attached near the end of each. Pieces of sheep's bone were sometimes included. So I'm not going to go into the rest of that because it's very graphic. Now, nailed to his cross, the real horror of crucifixion began. So he was flogged, he was beaten, flogged, mocked, crown of thorns and everything, and now, my mom used to spank us. She would use whatever, and for a while it hurt until it didn't. My brother was always screaming before my mom walked in, crying and everything, and I got to the point where I wouldn't. It still hurt, but I wouldn't let her know that, but going through what Jesus went through, and that was, I was a little kid when that happened, so it was still painful. But when the wrists were nailed to the crossbar, the elbows were intentionally left in the bent position so that the crucified man would hang with his arms above his head, the weight being taken on the nails in his wrists, right through there. And they, when they drove it in, it hit that large nerve that was in there. Obviously, this was unbearably painful, but it had another effect. It was very difficult to exhale in this position. In order to breathe out and then to take fresh air in, it was necessary to push the body up on the nailed feet. We'll leave it at that. And I know everybody's asking, what does this have to do with John? Well, John 21, 18 and 19. This is Jesus speaking to Peter. And this is after he asked Peter if he loved him three times. "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Now, Donald and I had this discussion. Peter may or may not have been there. I tend to believe you that he wasn't there. But Peter knew what the Romans did. The Romans had been there for a long time. He knew what they did. They were in a room. He was in a room with the other disciples. John was there. John probably relayed, and you know, he probably heard a lot of people talking around town. He may have even seen Jesus up there. So he knew what Jesus was talking about. And he went anyway. After Jesus told him, "You're going to be crucified just like me," and he went anyway. If Jesus told us that we would suffer the same fate as Peter, would we have the courage to follow him? Could we give our lives away in such a horrendous manner to bring other people to Christ or to save your brothers or your nephews? Could we do that as Christians, knowing that we're going to make it to heaven? You know, as soon as we pass away from that, we're going to heaven. Or would we cower and desert Jesus like everybody else did? Just something to think about.
All right.
Thank you.